The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the Most Kind, the Most Merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We then begin this sermon the way the Commander of the Faithful used to begin his, by advising us, Usikum ibadallah bitaqwallah, that we advise you, O the servants of God, to be God-conscious, God-fearing, and pious human beings. We had stated that inshallah we will be beginning a new series, and it's about how to combat the desires that we have, how to fight the nafs that we have to ensure that it remains in the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be. And the importance of this, right, is known as jihadun nafs, the combat against the self, is something that has been highlighted in many verses of the Holy Quran, in many traditions. And when we analyze the importance of it, you know, the ability to combat our desires, the ability to hold back our ideas and thoughts that sometimes want to govern us, is what takes a human being from being an insan to an insanul kamil. Yeah, it takes them to that perfection. And this is something that I've been talking about a lot, to be quite honest. You know, sometimes we have to, in life we are always looking to become better, but we never put in that same amount of thought and effort into our souls. And how do we improve our souls? You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us as insan with the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. And so when we see people who are able to distinguish between right and wrong, may they be people of faith or even without faith, that is an insani thing to do. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought for us and the guidance that He sent for us is what takes us from being this insan to a perfect insan, insan al-kamil. And this is why jihadun nafs, or the talking about the combat against the self, is so important. It elevates us. There are many traditions that talk about this. One in particular that I know we've all heard before, but it's a good reminder from our sixth Imam al-Sadiq alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam. صلي على محمد وآل محمد, where he says that أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله بعث سرية فلما رجعوا, that he once dispatched troops for battle, and when they came back he says مرحبا بقوم قضوا جهاد الأصغر وبقي عليهم جهاد الأكبر. He says congratulations to you, yeah, for that group of people, you are able to do the jihad, the smaller jihad, the smaller sacrifice, the smaller battle. But upon you is still waiting the bigger battle. These people just came back from a military expedition, right? And this is how the Prophet greets them, to say that you have done something small. What awaits you is something bigger. And they asked him, that what is this bigger jihad? And he says, jihadun nafs. Yeah, the ability to fight our desires. You know, why is this the jihad, the greater jihad, the bigger combat, right? Because it's ever going, it never ends. You know, it never ends. From the time that we are young and we start to learn things, and we learn about our desires and how our desires work and how our desires govern us, and they govern our actions all the time, right? From the time we are children, children learn very quickly. If children cry, they will get something. And so they have learned how to manipulate that. Likewise, we learn that as we grow older, when my stomach rings a bell, I answer it. When my eyes ring a bell, I answer it. When my tongue wants to do something, I eat it. Right? Like we're constantly chasing after our desires. And so we have to learn. And this never stops. There's not an age that we reach to where we say, Alhamdulillah, I don't have to fight my soul anymore. No, it will continue. And this is why it is known as the greater sacrifice or the greater struggle. What I want to talk about today in a little bit of detail is understanding the soul of a human being, right? And what we're about to describe, it sounds as though it is like fiction, you know, but it's not. It's a reality, but it's something that we're just not aware of or not paying attention to. Our soul or our existence, let's look at our existence. Our existence is composed of two environments. Yeah? The first environment is the worldly existence that we have, that we see. And this is the realm of the body. Yeah? This is where our physical self remains. And then there is a spiritual existence that's simultaneous to our physical existence. And this is the realm of the soul, where the soul lives. The soul inhabits both the physical realm and the spiritual realm. You're going to have to stay with me today, okay? Two realms of existence, physical realm, spiritual realm. The soul exists in both. That's why we have a soul inside of us. It exists in this physical realm and it exists in the spiritual realm. Its ascension takes place in the spiritual realm. So whatever we see, like we think that, oh, I'm not feeling a difference now. If I had the ability to see what's happening in the spiritual realm, I would see every action having an effect on my soul, right? In both of these existences, right, there are two guards or two hosts who are battling one another for supremacy. There is the divine hosts and then there are the satanic hosts. Yeah, they exist within us. This is the promise of Iblis, wasn't it? That I will flow through the blood of Bani Adam, except for those who are utterly pure. But everybody else will struggle with this. And so in these realms, there is the satanic hosts and the divine hosts. And they are battling each other to see who will reign supreme, right? And so the divine forces are those forces that drive us towards good actions. They tell us to be honest. They tell us to be kind. They tell us to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. While the satanic forces will tell us, follow your desires. Your heart wants something. Why are you saying no? You live once. And so this is something that constantly takes place and the battle is constantly brewing. And the battle primarily between these two forces takes place in the worldly realm, right? In this physical realm. And each of them utilize certain weapons, if we call it, right? I'm describing a battle here, yes? They utilize certain weapons at their disposal. And these weapons are what? Our seven functionalities of the body, right? Each of them are fighting for supremacy over our ears, over our eyes, over our tongue, over our stomach, over our private parts, over our arms, and over our legs. They utilize these seven things, each of them telling them something, and each of them telling them something else. This is why we are constantly in this battle. Should I look? Should I not look? Should I click? Should I not click? Should I listen to this? Should I not listen to this? Each of them wants to reign supreme. Each of them are utilizing the same functionalities that we have, that Allah has provided for us in this physical realm. And so they are fighting over this battle. On top of these seven functionalities, there is one that governs them, and that is our imagination or our mind. Yeah? They are also fighting for supremacy over this, the faculty of imagination. You know, we are created with certain faculties. If you go and study the books of Akhlaq, they tell us we are created with the faculty of anger, for example, the faculty of desire, the faculty of intellect. But there is one faculty that can be dominant over all, and that is the faculty of imagination, the faculty of thought. You know, when you sit there, sometimes we have thoughts that jump from tree to tree, as described by our ulama, that, oh, I could do this and I could do that. While I'm here, my thoughts are all the way somewhere else altogether. The faculty of imagination is the one that once it gains a certain direction, if one of these two hosts begins to win, that faculty of imagination will begin to imitate the teachings that that host begins to prescribe for them. And so, for example, if the host of shaitan begins to win, then my imagination and my thoughts will all be satanic. Yeah? It will take me down a path that will be away from Allah, telling me to do things, telling me to chase after things, telling me to want things and desire things and do it. What's the big deal? Because my imagination and my thought process is taking me down that path. But on the other hand, if the divine forces begin to win, then my thoughts begin to be holy. My thoughts begin to be beautiful. My thoughts begin to be wholesome. And that is the path that it will take, the seven functionalities that we talked about. This is all taking place within us every single moment. It's in a way fascinating, right? Because we don't focus on that. We don't realize what's taking place. We just look at our actions and our responses and our effects of these. But internally, there is literally a battle brewing. Yeah? And this is why, as I said, we have thoughts that one day will be like this, one day will be like that. And the more we listen to one particular host over the other, yeah, the more silent the other host will become.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen Ghafur Shakurun Wadud Qayyim وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه